Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Gora Haribo 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 Nitya Gora Haribo Shiva Prabhupada ki
Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivajak Acharya Shruta Shatashri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivajak Acharya Shruta Shatashri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपा गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंज राधा कुंज गिरि गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम श्वेत जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय जमुना माई की जय भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय श्री श्री गौर निताई की जय निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा
जय राधा माधवा
कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivajaka Acharya Shruta Shatya Shri Srimati's Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Nairanam namaskritya Narachevam narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudiri Nashte prayeshu badreshu Nityam bhagvata sevaya Bhagvati ruttam shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Neshtaki Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Okay, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 7, Text Number 55, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Text Number 55. Itavaneva lokasmin pumsaha sarvatha parasmrita ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tad ishkanam itavaneva lokasmin Pumsaha swartha parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tad ikshkanam Itamaneva lokesmin Pumsaha swartha parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tad ikshkanam Itamaneva lokesmin Pumsaha swartha parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tad ikshkanam Itamaneva lokesmin Pumsaha swartha parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tad ikshkanam Itamaneva lokesmin Pumsa swartha parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tad ikshkanam Itamaneva lokesmin Pumsa swartha parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tad ikshkanam Itavan This much Eva Certainly Loke asmin In this material world Pumsaha Of the living entity, Sava Arthaha, the real self interest, Paraha, transcendental, Smritaha, regarded, Ekanta Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service, Govinde, to Govinda, Yat, which, Sarvatra, everywhere, Tad Ikshkanam, seeing the relationship with Govinda, Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see Him everywhere, is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. Purport. In this verse, the words Sarvatra Tad Ikshkanam describe the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Stavara jangama dekhe, na dekhe tara murti, sarvatra haya nija ishta deva shpuruti. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.272. Even in this material world, a devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda. Govindam Adipurusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvaraha Parma Krishnaha Sachida Anand Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarva Karan Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe, even in atomic particles. Andanatara stha paramanu chayantra stham. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. It is therefore said, Narayana mayam dhiraha pashyanti param paramarthinaha jagat dhana mayam lubda kamushkaha kamini mayam. A devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayana, Narayana mayam. Everything is an expansion of Narayana's energy. Just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money making, and those who are lusty see everything as being conducive to sex, the most perfect devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, saw Narayana even within a stone column. This does not mean, however, that we must accept the words Daridra Narayana, which has been manufactured by some unscrupulous persons. One who actually envisions Narayana everywhere makes no distinction between the poor and the rich. To single out the Daridra Narayana or poor Narayana and reject the Dhani Narayana or rich Narayana is not the vision of a devotee. Rather, that is the imperfect vision of materialistic person. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 7th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanshakal Patirupesha Kirpa Sindhu Bhayai Vacha Patitanam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the last verse of this particular chapter, and it is really very interesting because Prahlad is sharing some very, very confidential and, you know, knowledge with his playmates. And in this particular verse, he is talking with them about the ultimate goal of life. So in when we read these translations and we hear Srila Prabhupada classes, there is a lot of similarity between what Prahlad Maharaj is instructing or sharing with his playmates and what Srila Prabhupada instructs us. So what is the ultimate goal of life? Krishna Prema, which means for Krishna, render service to the lotus feet of Govinda and see him everywhere. So when we are at that level, then it is what Acharya Nishtha Prabhu says is Krishna Prema. Now, Prabhupada gave us also the mother of all mantras. We have Hare Krishna mantra, there's a Maha mantra, and the mother of all mantras Prabhupada gave us. And what is that? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. So if we try to connect and look at these two together, Prabhupada has made our life so easy. We just try to remember Krishna always. Now, we have to really pay some attention and devote some time to understand this. I was reading when I was preparing this particular class, I was referring to text number 65, 18 chapter, 65 text from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is instructing Arjun, and he says, Mam mana bhav mad bhakto. And when you read the purport of that particular text, Prabhupada is very, very straight and simple. There's one thing which is very interesting in Prabhupada's purports, that he is always straight and to the point. And he says, again, he is reminding us to remember Krishna always and never forget him. And then he says that we do not have to do this artificially, because artificially we can do certain things only for some time. We cannot really, you know, make it our nature. So he instructs us that we should make our lives such that automatically we would remember Krishna in whatever we are doing. I have, and several other speakers have talked about it, that our day should be designed in such a way that at each and every hour, at each and every minute, and each and every second of our day, we are remembering Krishna. So that's what Srila Prabhupada talks about when it comes to seeing Krishna everywhere. Now, since this is the last text of this particular chapter, this also gives us an opportunity to look at the rest of it maybe one more time. Now, we talked about the ultimate goal of life, and in several other scriptures, when we read about this goal, let us ask ourselves a question, that who can reach this goal, or who is at that platform where they are thinking of Krishna always and seeing Krishna everywhere? So who is such a person? Who is such a devotee? Mahabhagavata, very nice. And also in Nectar of Instruction, we hear about Uttam Adhikari. So when one is at that platform where one is only thinking of Krishna and has no other desire except pleasing Krishna, then one can achieve this particular goal. Now, Prahlad Maharaj has given us step-by-step, you can say, recipe to reach that level. He is talking to his playmates who are of his age. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was instructing, he was about 5 years of age. And imagine that he is talking to kids who are of his age, not grown-up people. But yet, he gives them all the information which is needed to reach the Uttam Adhikari platform or Maha Bhagavata platform. So most of you have attended the classes when this particular, you know, chapter has been discussed. Some of you have been even giving classes on different verses. So let us try to go over what all Prahlad Maharaj tells his playmates, because it's all very, very relevant for us. So, can we start somewhere? Somebody would like to mention? I guess everybody can share something here, because we all know what Prahlad Maharaj spoke to his friends. Can you use that?
Are we allowed to look at the texts?
Oh, okay. So, okay, maybe you can do that in the meanwhile. Anybody else would like to share something? You gave the class yesterday, Prabhu. You can give something from there.
Well, you wanted to start from the beginning.
Okay, we can. It doesn't have to be like, it's nice if it is step by step, but I guess all the points which he mentions are very, very important. So we can start. We can make a start somewhere.
I think it was this chapter early, right? Prahlad Maharaj was expressing how he came to understand this knowledge. And so he first learned it by, he was in the womb, and at that time Narada Muni was instructing his mother, and so he was able to hear in that way. And that's how he got this knowledge.
That's correct, yes. He's just setting the stage.
That's the beginning.
Okay, Alex Mataji. Yeah, he or she.
In text 48, Prahlad Maharaj is encouraging his schoolmates to give up dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and to just worship Krishna in the form of the supersoul.
Thank you. And I think you gave that class, correct?
Yes, that's
you
why
said
I
something
remember.
Else also. The other important thing which you said in your class is to follow a devotee, follow the devotees
oh, yes,
of the Lord.
Yes, it says follow in the footsteps of the devotees yeah. and worship.
So that is so important. And, you know, any of our scriptures, whatever scripture you read, so much of emphasis and importance is given to this particular point, that we should follow in the steps of our acharyas. We should follow in the steps of pure devotees of the Lord. So that's very, very important. Thank you so much.
Main points was the need to accept the spiritual master and render service unto
yes.
his lotus feet as the primary instruction.
That's true. That I think is text number 30 and 31. Thank you so much. Yes. The importance of having a spiritual master and what kind of a relationship we should have with spiritual master, how we can learn from a spiritual master. And when I try to connect it with what Alex Mataji said just now, that follow in the footsteps of a pure devotee. So a pure devotee is our role model. And we can learn a lot from him. As a matter of fact, we have to learn everything from him. On our own, we are not capable of learning anything. We are not so intelligent. And it is very easy to get confused and bewildered in this material world. So we need the guidance of a Mahabhagavata or a pure devotee of the Lord. And that comes to us in the form of a spiritual master.
After he asked his classmates to hear from him, then he was, I think he started explaining about the difference between the gross, subtle, and yes. the soul, these different bodies, and yeah. why we should understand the difference between them.
Mm-hmm. This right in the beginning of his instructions, that's true. So he talks about material body, he talks about soul, he talks about super soul, and he even talks about the relationship between soul and super soul. So when we look at it, in these verses, Prahlad Maharaj has given all the instructions which Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita in a very, very concise form. So for those who are always very busy and do not have time to read Bhagavad Gita from beginning till end, if they read chapter 7, text of 7th canto, they will get a very good idea of what Krishna is instructing Arjuna. And there will be inspiration to maybe read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end. I had noted down certain points as well. that Mukunda Prabhu said, he talks about material body, subtle body, soul and super soul. And after that, he talks about how we in human body are entangled in material activities. And why, you know, we consider them so important to our lives, as if our life cannot carry on if we are not doing those activities and those endeavors. And then he goes further and talks about how we can get out of this entanglement. So now, since he talks about, this is the question that Prahlad Maharaj explains to his playmates, how they can get out of this entanglements of material life. So let's dwell and let's think about what are those things, or what are the activities, or what do we need to do to get out of these entanglements. Yes, Prabhu.
I more or less have questions. That's it. I mean, can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Regarding the last verse. It was saying hearing and chanting. We usually hear hearing and chanting for hearing and chanting's sake. It's more or less a comment. But I feel like we're... forgive me, I'm tired.
You want to... Okay, no problem. You want to formulate it? Maybe we can... You can ask later. So... He, you know, Prahlad Maharaj talks about attachments, material possessions, relationships, and how they keep us, you know, in their clutches. How Maya or the material energy keeps us busy in all kind of different endeavors and activities. And they are not really bringing us anything as such. He's talking about happiness. And when Prahlad is speaking about happiness, he is very clearly making a distinction between material happiness and spiritual happiness. And he explains how temporary material happiness is. And in spite of that, how much time and energy and efforts we spend for that so-called happiness. Whereas it is leading us to more miseries and unhappiness. So there's another important point to take home from this particular chapter. Then in text number 50, we are coming towards the end of the chapter, Prahlad Maharaj talks about rendering service to the lotus feet of Mukunda. This is another thing which I think he gave us, Prahlad Maharaj gave us, though not in this chapter, but in the previous chapters, which is also very, very relevant. And if we remind ourselves, it helps us, because we are all talking of bhakti. We are talking of rendering devotional service to the Lord. And to understand what devotional service is and how it could be rendered, Prahlad Maharaj has again given us a very, very nice answer. And then he talks about Sharanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So it is in that particular verse, if we know, if we remember it, if we read it, then there are several ways in which one can render devotional service unto the Lord. So, and Prabhupada quotes that particular verse in so many of his purports. And in text number 52, which I think Acharya Nishtha Prabhu gave the class, Prahlad says, the Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show and waste of time. Charity, austerity, sacrifices, or vows are useless if one does not develop love for Krishna. So, the purpose of doing whatever we are doing is to develop love for Krishna. If all the activities, however austere they may be, however, you know, sacrifices we may be making, etc., but until and unless they help us in developing love for Krishna, all those activities are waste of time. Then in text number 54, which was yesterday, he says, accepting principles of bhakti yoga can revive our true spiritual identity. And what is that? To serve the Supreme Lord unconditionally. Yesterday, Acharya Nishtha Prabhu read from Nectar of Devotion. Correct, Prabhu? You read, when you were in your class, you read, you were quoting and reading from Nectar of Devotion. And I was also reading that. And I was tempted to read that again, but I thought it will be a repetition. So I'm not doing that. But I... about a devotional, I mean, I was going to speak about the devotional service from there. It is in when the aspects of devotional service, when I think in chapter 5, most likely. But so Prabhupada speaks and quotes so many, as a matter of fact, he is quoting Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami is quoting so many scriptures in support of rendering devotional service to the God, to the Lord, and what it could mean. And when we are talking of unflinching faith and trust in the Lord, that is what when we are coming closer to Krishna. And Prabhupada says very nicely that it means total faith, not 99% faith. So he said, number of times when we are reading instructions of our superiors, when we are reading instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, we tend to accept only part of it. We read the whole thing and we say, yes, okay, this is good, this is what I will accept, and this is not really, you know, I don't like it, so I will reject that. So Prabhupada says that when we are taking instructions, when we are going through those instructions, we have to accept them fully, without any doubt at all. And this is the characteristic or the biggest quality of a Mahabhagavata or a or Uttamadhikari. He has total unalloyed faith in Krishna. Then Rupa Goswami talks further when it is when he is talking about devotional service, about total surrender to the Lord. So we hear this word quite often, that one should surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord, one should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So what does it mean to you when we talk about surrendering? Yes, Prabhu.
Giving up all of our personal desires, plans, and surrendering to the devotees who can instruct us in service.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Rupa Goswami says, and that is the essence verse of Nectar of Devotion, Anya Bilashita Shunyam. So, which means no desire, Shunyam means zero, or nothing at all. So I do not have any desire of my own except pleasing the Lord. So when we are at that level, when we, so that is the aim, that's where we are, we have to go. We should be thinking that whatever I need to do to please Krishna. Anybody else would like to share their thoughts?
I Usually the philosophy could be cutting. I mean, the truth kind of makes you insecure. So, I mean, surrender should, of course, it's connected with humility, so real surrender is to put aside your own comfort and just accept the truth. So that was my interpretation as I read Bhagavad Gita, and I was hearing all this cutting philosophy about my attachments.
Yeah, and I would like to add to what you said in what Rupa Goswami says is not surrender just by, you know, surrendering your soul. It's like surrendering your body, mind, and soul. So that means whatever I am doing, I am, or in another, there was another example given. I do not remember who says this, but it is very, very interesting and easy to remember that one should consider oneself as a souled animal. And a souled animal is like, you know, you have seen a pet somebody has, and they really take very good care of their pet. So a souled animal means like we have to consider that I am, you know, a souled animal, and my master is Krishna. I am his pet. And if he is my master, he is going to take care of me. Come what may, my master is going to take care of me. So that is the thought of a souled animal. And so I was just thinking that how closely it, you know, relates to the degree of surrender. The souled animal's, you know, situation versus vis-a-vis the situation of a devotee who is totally surrendered to the Lord. Okay. Please pass it on.
Came to mind was accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable, having faith that Krishna will protect one, being meek and humble, and then what's the last one? Oh, dedicating everything to the
service.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his prayers also. But let us say in terms of application in our lives, how would you apply that? We hear so much and we talk about, you know, these things. But important thing is what, and Prabhupada says that important thing is to apply them in our lives. At least we have to try to apply them as much as possible. So when we are talking of surrender and devotional service, how do we apply these principles in our life? Follow the instructions fully, correct? Who was saying? You were talking? Who said this? Ah, okay, Alex. Okay, so one Alex here, another Alex over there. Yes, Prabhu.
So in Kali Yuga, to surrender to Krishna means to surrender to the process by which one can receive Krishna's shelter, which is the chanting of the holy name. So the congregational Harinam Sankirtan is the principal means in this age that one can really receive the shelter of the Lord. Mm-hmm. One surrenders to Krishna through that.
Through the holy name. Yeah, thank you. There was another statement I was reading, and that is coming from Krishna when he is speaking to Arjun, and he says, a person who says that he is my devotee, he is not truly my devotee. A person who says he is a devotee of my devotee, he is a true devotee. And this is so much relevant in our situation, because we are talking about surrender. So our surrender starts with our spiritual master. or a true devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord. So if we offer our services to our spiritual master, we are, as a matter of fact, offering service to Krishna through him. And in so many occasions, Prabhupada says that we do not have qualifications to offer services directly to Krishna. And it is through a Vaishnava we can do that. And why he says that we can do it through a Vaishnava? Because Vaishnavas are so compassionate that they will help us. It was a nice discussion. I thought that it would be a good way of going through all the important points of this particular chapter. It's a kind of reminder, because in the next chapter it is going to be some violence. Narasimha Deva Bhagwan is going to take care of Hiranyakashipu. So before that, if we are in the right mood to say our prayers to him, it will be really very, very helpful. So if there are any other, some questions or some other discussion points, please share.
It seems like Prahlad Maharaj is concluding with render service unto the lotus feet of Govinda. It seems like the rendering service to the Lord is meant to facilitate remembrance of the Lord. So I was wondering, is the remembrance of the Lord the main purifying agent within the service, and not the service itself?
So when we are, there, if we look at the processes of devotional service, we can, there are 9 processes he has given us. So one can do, one can render service in so many different ways. As a matter of fact, if we look at it, your question is whether remembering what is the meaning of remembrance in devotional service. And that starts with that if we, I go back to what Srila Prabhupada says, that always remember Krishna and never forget him. So if we make that as the aim of our life, everything whatever we will be doing is actually service. If we, we may be doing so many things, but until and unless we are thinking of Krishna and we are doing those service to Krishna or for his pleasure or for the pleasure of our spiritual master, those services are just mundane activities. I give you a very simple example in our lives. Say, for example, somebody is cooking in the kitchen. It may be here in the temple or even at home. And when, let's say at home, and when I'm cooking, if I'm not thinking that whatever I'm going to cook is for, I'm going to offer to Krishna through my spiritual master, all the efforts which I'm putting in for that, to make all the delicious things is useless. As a matter of fact, the process of offering starts when you go for shopping bhoga. When you are shopping, one should be thinking, oh, this is what Krishna is going to have. This is what Krishna likes. Let me take this. And our cook will going to make something, for Krishna. Krishna is really going to enjoy it. So that is the way one can even make a start. I'm just giving out of that process. So it is not that the person who is going to get bhoga, it is just that, okay, this is my job. I have to drive from here up to the market, buy vegetables, buy rice, and then come back and dump it in the kitchen. And it is somebody else's job to cook, and then, it comes on the altar. No, the consciousness has to be good. The true consciousness, as I said, starts when you are planning to buy ingredients to make bhoga for the Lord. So remembering the Lord in whatever we are doing, remembering the spiritual master and offering the services to the Lord through spiritual master, that is really going to help us. Yes, Justin Prabhu.
Prabhu, I was just wondering if you could elaborate on the qualification to really remember or think of Krishna, because we always hear to remember Krishna, but Krishna is beyond the material senses. He's a doksija. So how do we know we're not just meditating on our mundane conception of Krishna? Or, you know, what is the qualification to really think of
Krishna? So Prabhupada says there is no qualification needed. So, if you follow Prabhupada's instructions, it is really going to be very easy. Because he says that in whatever activities we are doing, we think of Krishna. So, he explains that. Because somebody asked him a similar question, and he explains the activities which a devotee does and the activity which a non-devotee does, they are similar. But what we are doing, when we are doing those activities, we are thinking of Krishna, that we are doing it for Krishna's pleasure. So that is the only qualification which we need. We need to know that whatever I am doing, whatever I am supposed to be doing, is to please Krishna and nothing else.
I think it is a very nice question, though, because the degree, what does it really remember to remember Krishna? There are certainly degrees of remembrance. So if it's, if the goal is simply to develop some type of kind of casual or semblance of remembrance, but real remembrance of Krishna would mean actual absorption, that Krishna begins to reveal himself from within the heart in his true sense. Like you're saying, if we keep a conception of Krishna in the mind, in one sense, that's remembrance, but that's not actually full Krishna consciousness. So it seems like his question is more, the qualification could be developing one's smaranam practice and shravanam practice to the degree that Krishna actually wants to reveal himself in truth, in tattva. Mm-hmm. And then real remembrance could be considered to be achieved.
Okay. So we have to make a start somewhere. And we make a start by what I said. We remember Krishna in whatever activities we are doing. And as we practice this, together with chanting, following regulative principles, slowly and gradually, the contamination in our thoughts, contamination in our consciousness, that goes away. So slowly, our heart is cleansed and the quality of our chanting is going to improve. The efforts and the consciousness with which I'm going to offer my services, that is going to become better and better. And when there is no contamination in my body, in my heart, then Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. So, when number of times this question comes up in a different form also, because in our movement, a lot of emphasis is, all the emphasis is on chanting. And we say that, chant offenselessly. Now, I can say, well, I don't think I'm ever going to chant offenselessly, so I should not even attempt to chant. So is that the answer or what is wrong in that? So Prabhupada says that even if you are chanting with offenses, you should not give up. Because chanting with offenses is slowly going to help you to chant without offenses, gradually. So in the same way, the remembering process, we keep Krishna always in our thoughts and work that way, and slowly the impurities of our heart will go away. The devotion with which you are serving Krishna, the intensity with which you are thinking of him, and the purity with which you are chanting his name, they will improve. And in the end, Krishna reveals himself. Does that help, Prabhu, somewhat? Would that add something, Prabhu?
Yeah, I was just thinking that it's a nice harmonizing point that how does that remembrance actually awaken? It's through the holy name. When the chanting reaches this stage of purity, offenseless chanting, Krishna reveals himself through the name. Mm-hmm. The name is how we realize Krishna. Yeah.
So name is the means and name is the end. It's both. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.